Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today. I know we've been trying to put this together for some time. I know some of our team's done one of your workshops, and they were very impressed by that. I think to start, can you just give us a little bit of background? Obviously, I know you, but just for the viewers out there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. What a backdrop. Yeah. I always think it's really lovely to be invited to share your story. As someone who's lived in the Middle East now for coming up for 23 years. Wow. It's a long time, and with that comes so much change, but also something that I'm really proud to have, you know, stayed the test of time, you know, gone through the recession in 2009, evolved my business, evolved who I am, and still here and in this city that people find so exciting to have been there, not at the beginning, because Dubai has been around a long time, but certainly seeing the steep rise of opportunities and lifestyle here, it's super exciting. So,
okay, 23 years, that's a journey. So 2002.
Just
you arrive. I would think that's a very different Dubai at the time.
It really was.
From what I know, so you arrived doing what? How did you land in Dubai firstly?
Yeah, so I was cabin crew. I was very young and I was very naive. I actually didn't know where Dubai was on the map.
Really?
And I remember...
Like many who thought it was a country initially. Yeah.
Okay. Well, interestingly, my parents had taken us on a holiday to Bahrain in 1992 as a cultural experience. It really was. And I remember going to my mum when I saw the advert for Emirates at the time, going, "Mum, where's Dubai?" And she'd said to me, "Oh, well, do you remember that we went on holiday to Bahrain?" And I just always remember, I have this really clear memory of my dad complaining to my mum, going, "But we haven't been served any alcohol since we stopped off in Egypt." And I said, "Mum, Dad didn't get any booze that holiday." I said, you know, I was 21.
The standout.
My priorities were so different at 21, 22. And she'd said to me, "No, Dubai's the next up-and-coming destination." Wow. And she was in finance. She read newspapers. She had a crystal ball. I don't know, one or all of them. And she said, "You know what, go." She said, "I think it's going to be a really exciting opportunity." And I was like, "Oh, do you want
to..." So your mom actually nudged you into it.
Yeah, massively. Wow. And I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I really want to be cabin crew. You know, do I see myself doing this for my whole life?" And she was like, "Go." Yeah. And she said, "It will be a stepping stone to another adventure."
Absolutely.
And it was a great piece of advice.
What incredible foresight from your mother to know. So that was early 2000s and she said...
Yeah, 2002. And I landed just in early 2003.
Okay. Unbelievable. So you joined Emirates,
yes,
I'm guessing?
Yeah.
How long was that journey with Emirates?
So it was 2.5 years.
Okay.
And it was quite interesting because when you stay 3 years, you get a bonus with Emirates.
Okay.
But I was so desperate to start my own business that it was kind of like I felt if I waited. And I think that's one piece of advice that I'll give to anyone, you know, if they're looking to move countries, if they're looking to start a business, you know, don't wait till you're ready. Yeah. Then you've waited too long.
Absolutely. I think if you wait for things to align too perfectly, they probably never will. So I have to agree with that, Kelly. I do. So let's cast our minds, or cast your mind back. 2002, early 2003, you spend 2 years with Emirates. You've got that entrepreneurial spirit already.
Yeah.
Dubai is extremely entrepreneurial now. I mean, people come here and really start a life and really kick things into gear. Yeah, what was it like then? Was that spirit still there already?
Huge.
Or really?
Like it was contagious. Okay. And I remember sort of speaking to pretty much anyone, whether I was speaking to flight deck on a trip to Bangkok or I was speaking to crew. It was nearly everyone had a side hustle or their spouse was doing something on their own. It was really, or they were leaving to go and do something themselves. So I would say that was a huge confidence boost. That was like, well, if they can do it, then why can't I do it? And that was it. Not waiting till my 3 years. Didn't want the bonus. I was like, right, I'm going to start what was then the Middle East's first personal shopping and styling agency. So that's kind of what I went into.
Yeah.
I'd worked in retail a little bit kind of in my late teens, early 20s. And I was like, you know what? No one's doing this here. Dubai was selling itself as the next big shopping destination. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this seems like a real natural step into it.
What was the retail space like back in early 2000s? I mean...
Well, Dubai Mall didn't exist.
Yeah.
Mall of the Emirates was just opening. So it hadn't opened when I had started my business, but it just opened. And I remember taking people round the mall. They'd hire me to show them where all the shops were and what to buy from the shops. Because I think in those days, less so now, but Dubai is a very... dressy environment.
It is, yeah.
And I think with a lot of the establishments, whether it's classy restaurants and bars, used to be in five-star hotels, you know, wearing jeans wasn't really a thing. Casual dressing wasn't a thing then.
Okay.
And I think there was also a bit of a misconception that people would come from the US or they'd come from Europe and they'd be like, well, it's so hot and you need to wear linen and you need to cover up. And in reality, you didn't.
Okay.
And I think there was a lot of people also climbing the career ladders. What they wore were incredibly important. And that was really my first foray into public image, personal presentation.
Yeah.
Those first impressions were so, so, so important.
Wow. Okay, so then already, because Dubai still has that. I mean, you have to show up on a lot of fronts, but fashion fronts being one of those, I suppose, especially in certain sectors.
Yeah.
So it was already progressive there. And had you spent time in that space before? You said before you arrived in Dubai, you had
worked in retail, but I had never owned my own business. And the naivety that came with that, I was like, you know, how hard can it be to match my salary with Emirates?
Sure. That's
a lot harder, it turns out.
That's very, very brave. Okay, very, very brave. Which you have to be, as you said.
Yeah.
So... you say, okay, but what sparks that initiative? What you're 2.5 years with Emirates, let's say, roughly.
Yeah.
You then say, I've got this idea. I think there's a gap in the market here for, could we call it personal shopping?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that fair? So number one, what does the actual business setup look like back in 2005? And what does the actual industry, I mean, how do you find clients? Surely it's not as cosmopolitan in 2005 as it is now.
Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of work with locals at that stage.
Yeah, no. So it was a great question. The business setup was a nightmare.
Yes.
And I remember it was actually someone who was flight deck that I had said, I think a captain had said, oh, my wife's just set up in a free zone. And I was not sure how to do this. And I was like, I remember it. I think it was even a Bangkok trip. I got in at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
I waited up till 7:30 to call the free zone to say, could you help me set up my business?
Okay.
And they didn't know where to put me because they didn't know what category. Like lifestyle consultancy is very much a thing now, but in those days they were like personal shopping. Like
what sector does that even
fit
into?
Yeah, so they put me into gifts and novelties. And that was my heading for a number of years under the trade license. So that was a big box ticked.
But sounds like Santa.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit. And I actually did some of those kind of shopping experiences in the beginning.
Yeah.
But also came with, which I didn't realize, when you set up, again, Dubai, red tape paperwork, was you needed to have a certain amount of money in your bank account or they actually wouldn't give you your trade license. So I didn't know this. And they had said, okay, in order to get you as 100% shareholder and not go into business with someone else, you need to have 100,000 dirhams in your bank account.
Okay. Which at the time I'm sure felt like may as well have been 10 million dirhams.
Absolutely. We're talking years of cabin crew salary. Who has that lying around?
Sure.
And I remember asking, you know, my mom, could she help me? And equally, you know, to just... Yeah. Pull out £25,000. Oh, here you go and transfer it 23 years ago. So I remember trying to be creative, and I think that's a skill as an entrepreneur. You're always having to be creative. And I went to the bank at the time, and I said, could I have a car loan?
Mm-hmm.
And the bank manager was like, yeah, we can give you a car loan. And I was like, oh, okay. And what kind of car are you going to buy? How much do you need? And I was like, oh, I need 100,000. And I remember him sort of
that's
like...
That's very specific.
He was looking at me going, and what kind of car are you driving at 100,000? And just to set the standard, like the car I had bought when I had moved to Dubai was like 15,000 dirhams.
Sure.
So I was like, what's an expensive car? What's an expensive car?
And
I'm across this bank manager. I said, I'm going to buy a Porsche.
Yes, nice, very confident.
And he said to me, you've got great taste.
Wow.
And that was how I got the funding to get the 100,000 dirhams into the
that's
bank
creative.
Account so
okay.
that I could get the trade license, then paid a portion of that back. And so it was challenging in the beginning. So I think
unbelievable.
setup part was hard.
Yeah, which is, it's still, I mean, it's still a little bit to navigate these days, but it's far easier now.
Absolutely.
And we do a lot of that for our clients. So Free Zone or Mainland or, you know, 100% shareholding is a lot easier now. So
absolutely,
we see that that's certainly changed over the last 20 years. But good on you for navigating that. That must have been...
Very creative. To answer your question about getting clients, because of course, you know, the whole, well, how hard can it be to match my salary? I only need four clients.
Well, not only that, in early 2000s, let's say 2005, 2006, it wasn't, I mean, now if you want to find clients, you get a marketing team or you outsource that. And you
social
say,
media.
How do you...
Can I just say, we were using fax machines then.
Yeah, there we go.
I bought a fax machine.
Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, actually, it was a friend of mine at the time. She said something to me that honestly changed the way that I see business now and got me so many opportunities. So she said, you know what, you need to send a press release out to media. And I was like... What is a press release? And she'd worked in this industry pre her cabin crew days.
Sure.
And she said, oh, I'll help you write one. And we sat one afternoon and we wrote this press release. And then I remember going to Spinney's, which is a local supermarket here. And I didn't have the money to buy all the magazines. So I remember just kind of quietly sitting in a corner, pulling all the magazines, opening the front page, getting the telephone numbers of each of the editors, then sending them a fax with the press release, and then trying to get their email address, and then really sort of nurturing those leads. But that was a great piece of advice, because from that, I also threw a launch party as well. So I invited a lot of media. I got an OK magazine. And from that, I think I got three publication features. And then people started calling me, and a woman said, oh, I saw you in this magazine, and can you come and help me do this? And that really started the ball rolling.
So that entrepreneurial spirit was really driving you at that stage.
Yeah.
I mean, what an incredible... Because, I mean, back then, it could have been easy to say, listen, it would just be easier to keep going and getting a salary with Emirates and doing that thing. But you were absolutely adamant. I mean, what an incredible...
Yeah.
So now... Let's kind of fast forward, and that's inspiring, Kelly. Really, really great. You then say, how long does your personal branding business run for, and what does that journey look like?
Yeah, so I had the styling agency for 15 years, and during that time, I massively invested in myself. So I think the one common theme was always I invested in personal development. I never saw myself as just a stylist. I saw myself as a business owner. How could I invest in skill stacking? How could I invest in business growth? And with that really came skills that I developed, public speaking, different communication skills, and I think really understanding personal brand and the sort of the aha moment of the personal brand piece was in 2012. So I'd been in business a few years, but
so that's your styling business ran for 15 years. Are you hiring?
Towards the end I had, but I think there was a real defining moment sort of before I sold the styling agency and understanding that your personal brand is not your business. And that was when luxury retailer Harvey Nichols reached out to me and asked me to do host a luxury fashion, luxury styling event. So I needed to communicate this season's styling trends, how I would wear them, how you could mix and match them and wear them different ways. And the marketing team had asked me to send me pictures. Can you send me your bio? Can you send me your logo? And the feedback I got from the team was, I'm afraid we can't use this. And I was like, oh, you know, is it not designer enough or what's wrong, you know? And they said, oh, no, it's your business. And I was like, well, yeah, I have a styling business. And they said, no, if you want us to promote you in store, we can only promote you. So we need your own logo. We need your own bio.
Wow, and what a pivot.
Was when I think... At the back of my mind, I always knew this. I had had a book in 2009. I was starting to do things that didn't all fit under
that umbrella.
Styling. This is when I realized, okay, so actually Kelly Lundberg is a brand and Style Me Divine is a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really started building both of them. But the more I worked on Kelly Lundberg, the more my styling business grew, the more I got opportunities in the media, the more I got speaking events, the more I had different revenue streams.
Wow.
And then after 15 years in the styling industry, I was like, no, I'm ready for the next evolution of who I am.
Yeah.
I knew I had so much more to support clients with other than just style.
Yeah.
And that's when actually having a personal brand allowed me to sell the styling agency and still operate under Kelly until I launched what the next version of Kelly and her business looked like, which is now Brand New Creators.
Wow, okay. So it was almost, I mean, you were kind of, you pivoted into it by a suggestion with a retailer who said, listen, this would work better for us if you want us to promote you. I mean, it's a conversation we have often. So a marketing team, we're a law firm primarily. So I would say I don't often think of personal branding in terms of myself or the team. I think of the firm. So that's what I think of. But I think marketing's often telling me otherwise.
Yeah.
You're now telling me otherwise. So yeah. I suppose that makes a lot of sense. But how do you balance the two? How do you balance a personal brand against a business brand or a company brand? Is it possible to juggle those two?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think you are part of the business.
Yeah.
So, and your team. Yes. They're the ambassadors for the business. So I think it's understanding the media opportunities, speaking opportunities are not your business. They're you.
Yes.
So if I get invited on to Dubai Eye, they're not saying, oh, can Brand New Creators come on and speak about, you know, the latest whatever in personal branding? No.
Yeah.
They're going, Kelly, can you come on and share your thoughts on what you think about X, Y, and Z?
That's a good point.
People. And that's the whole bit. It's not, you know, can you come and speak on, can, you know, Brand New Creators come and sit on a panel?
Yeah.
No. Can Kelly come and share your experience in communication?
Yes. And it's a very good differentiator.
That visibility perspective. Also, your personal brand, you don't always need to be talking about your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's the humanizing part behind your business and the authenticity piece. And that's where I think as we evolve more into AI and the ability to have tools to support us, you've got to use your personal brand on the personality piece to make you stand out, or else it's just too bland.
Yeah, I think there's also, I think with people in our sector or in finance and law and these sorts of things, I guess you're almost, your default is to put the firm first. Right. Rather than your personal brand, for lack of a better word. What I'm trying to get at is there not a risk of your personal brand outshining the firm? If you, I mean, you look at your transition from company to personal, your personal brand almost took over, or did.
Yeah, I think that's because I've also got a small team as well, and I'm speaking more, and there's less people in what I'm doing. But I would say that from that perspective, one, it's the only way that you're going to stand out. But when you start working on your personal brand, I think what people don't understand is that the business comes with you. So the more spotlight that potentially you have on you actually comes onto the business. And I've seen a shift certainly in organizations now investing in their team, because I think for a long time I was like, well, I'm not investing in the team's personal brand because they'll just get headhunted by someone else.
Fair enough.
But there is the reality that your team won't move if they're happy. An employee won't move if they're happy.
It's true.
So if you've got a good infrastructure, you're empowering them, they're really happy to talk about why I work for this company and the things they do, and the values align with my personal values and the business personal business values, then it's a win-win. And
so
all it does is shine the light on, this is a great company to work for.
Yeah, that's true. And we've seen that. We've probably really tried to drive that in the last year, and we've seen it make a difference. Maybe I'm slightly backward in terms of the way I think about a personal brand versus a business brand, but I think they can be interwoven, as you've said. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think it's also important to look at, everyone's got a personal brand.
Yes.
Everyone has one.
Without even realizing it sometimes. Yeah.
And the difference is when people really start to make things happen with their personal brand, is they go from reactive branding to intentional personal branding.
Yeah.
And when you start being intentional,
it's
less about you, it's more about the value you're offering, it's more about how you're impacting other people rather than it being a bragging show about what you're up to.
Yes, which can be a hard watch at times.
Absolutely.
So I get it. Okay, so thanks. I just wanted to do a little dive there because I still have some misconceptions, so that clears some of that up. Now, you were talking about your transition into your current I suppose, company or your current sector. Mm-hmm. So personal branding, I understand you help mostly CEOs and entrepreneurs. Can you?
Entrepreneurs, employees. I mean, yeah. To be honest, I think from a marketing perspective, I make it really clear that I work with entrepreneurs because they're the ones also that really realize that yeah. they need a brand, because if no one knows about them, then they don't have the business.
Absolutely.
Then from the C-suite executives are really starting to understand that, yes. okay, memorable leadership. Mm-hmm. So if I want to be more memorable and impact my team and impact the company, my brand has a huge part to play in that.
Sure.
So they're kind of the two areas that I'm helping. But the reality is everyone has a brand. And if you can yeah. encourage them to story tell, to communicate and bring all of that in, then that yeah. makes me so happy.
I mean, like I said at the beginning, some of our team spend a little bit of time with you, and I saw... I mean, I'm on very little on social media, but I'm on sometimes. And I saw some of them, it must have been because of you gave them a nudge to do it, sort of starting to do a dive or a video or a vlog
great.
On their own stories
yeah.
and a little bit about their background. So how yeah. important is it for you to build a clear understanding of where you're from and what that journey's looked like? Is that, how far back do you actually go?
It's a really good question, actually, yeah. because... Yeah. I often talk about, you know, when I moved to Dubai, but that's over 20 years ago now. But yeah. that was probably a big defining moment. But what people don't realize is you actually have multiple defining moments. So
yes.
in some places, you know, here it works in the conversation that we go back 20 years and this is what I started doing. But in other conversations or other places, it could be when I sold my styling agency, and that yeah. could be the pivot from there to, you know, moving into to personal branding and how that evolved and how did you get your first client there. So I think it's finding what are key moments to you, but being aware that they might evolve.
Yes.
For example, I had a client just this year, actually, and when I was going through everything, I said, you keep talking about this 5 years, but you've changed so much in this 5 years. I think you need a newer origin story, that
Great.
You can have this older origin story in certain situations, but we need this new one, of this version of,
yeah.
of who you are now. And she was like, wow, I really didn't realize that I was still so much in that space. So
I think such a good point.
From that piece, you understand, you know, what makes you unique. We've all got cultural differences. We've all got personal observations, awarenesses, how we observe things. All of that makes you you.
Yeah, I also think, I don't know, well, just personally, I don't know how much time we often spend thinking about our evolution.
No.
You kind of end up where you are, and you sometimes it's hard to remember what happened yesterday, let alone 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think staying quite self-aware helps as well, right?
Absolutely. Just,
and being authentic, I think, would help too, because you can kind of tell when a personal brand or whatever that looks like lacks a bit of authenticity. So I'm sure you give guidance on that as well.
Yeah, I think authenticity is a great word, because
yeah.
it's overused, but also people don't know really what it means and how to be authentic.
Yeah.
I actually did a whole presentation and event around showing up unapologetically you, because in 2024, I asked ChatGPT, my friend, what was the what was the most asked question about personal branding? And actually what came up was how to be authentic with my personal brand. So it's a big area that people go, am I showing up authentically me? What does authentic actually mean?
Sure.
And what happens when we truly show up unapologetically you? And
yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
a really
yeah.
interesting observation to reflect on yourself, to go, when am I the me-est me?
That's a good question.
When are you
yeah.
the you-est you? And what we tend to find is that the me-est me and what goes out on social media, there's a meet in the middle.
Yes.
Because the reality is, the me-est me is what you get here, but also it's me sitting in comfies eating pizza on a Saturday night
sure,
type
absolutely.
Thing. Would I be posting that every weekend on social media?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do I occasionally give snippets into that life? Yes. But there's got to be this other part of how else you
Such
show
good
up
advice.
As
yeah.
as being the me-est me. So for me, and I can give, because I don't know who's watching here, but I give examples of, I show up as the me-est me at 5:30 in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, so it's no makeup. Here's me doing a scrunched up face trying to pull the lap pulls out. Do you know what I mean? That's the me is me.
Absolutely.
You know, when other PCs are, the me is when I go out on a date night. That is also me, but it's the other scale of it. But it's having the confidence and openness of showing all of that, the good with
such
the bad.
Such a good point. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but I know for me, that little snippet's helpful because, yeah, the you is you or the me is me is different versions of yourself. So I think what happens is people can look at social media and maybe think that's what I should or shouldn't be, rather than that's who I am or I'm not. So that's
And the stats come back and share that with you, like on LinkedIn. So I'm pretty consistent on LinkedIn. I do 5 posts a week. I've got a real intentional strategy around it. We're really growing on that
intentional
platform.
Intentional is a good word.
Yeah, and what I've noticed is we can track back in the last, since January the 1st of when we started to be really intentional with that platform, every single post that outperformed anything was a personal picture and a storytell.
Yeah, you see. Okay.
And if you can bring it back to your niche, your industry, absolutely great. But and it's not about just the stats and the numbers, but ultimately it's about impact.
Sure.
So there is that element of being intentional so that you can impact more people, so that you can inspire them, so that you can encourage them, so that they can maybe one day be a client or you be on their podcast whatever it is.
And it aligns nicely when you do those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great. Okay, that's great advice, Katie. Thank you so much for your time. I think you're going to sit with another member of our team. I appreciate the insights, and your journey's been incredible. So, yeah, I hope to do a personal branding strategy with you soon. I think it's probably needed for my end. So, yeah, thank you again.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much for your questions.
Thank you, Katie.